Hello, welcome to Infinite Prattle. Today's episode is about something that I've been really wanting to do for a long, long time. If you've listened to a previous episode, from a couple of weeks ago, you may have an idea of what this is. Well, I've finally done it, and if you don't know what it is, stay tuned. You're listening to Infinite Prattle! With your host, Stephen. Thanks for joining me for unscripted, unedited, everything. Thank you very much for joining me today. I hope you've liked the previous episodes and the video episodes that we've had recently. So the episode one of Dex has received really, really good response. So I'm hoping the second one carries on and gains momentum because it's quick on the pickup. So it always intrigues me. Like which episodes seem to get more listens and stuff than others. Very, 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 very strange. Anyway, thank you very much for joining me. And I've got a little bit of a different setup today. This is completely not related to the actual episode at all. But I've tried to like minimize. You wouldn't know what I'm about to say if you looked at my room right now. It's an absolute tip. I feel like I say this a lot. It never gets resolved. It goes through iterations of resolve and then becomes a minefield of mess again. But I've been trying to clean up my setup. So I had like loads of arms for like resting my laptop on and my mixing desk and stuff. And I wanted a new screen because I was using like one of them portable screens. It's not really good enough. So I decided to invest in an actual full-time monitor. So I'm in the midst of once again, trying to rearrange my setup. It never ends. Anyway, that's not what today's episode's about. Today's episode's about what I did a couple of weeks ago. Now, you might remember the playground episode that I did, and I recorded that in the hotel in Bedford, and I was down in Bedford for a very specific reason. I will just say, though, the hotel I stayed in was very, very nice, and there was a young chap that was manning the, staffing the reception desk and basically doing a multitude of jobs, actually. I feel like it was a very understaffed hotel, but it was very clean and pleasurable and a lot better than I thought for £60 a night. Room only, that was. Yeah, he was fantastic, and I don't know if he'll ever listen to this. But yeah, see, he was from Nepal, and he was just, I can't remember his name, it really annoys me. I've left a nice review on the hotel. But he was just a thoroughly nice guy, and he couldn't do enough for me. And it's stuff like that, you know, little customer service things like that, really, I feel like really go a long way. So thank you, lovely chap from the hotel. Anyway, yeah, so this thing that I've been meaning to do for a long, long time, I finally decided to do it, and that's what took me to the hotel. And I'd been very busy, and I thought it was a long journey. On the Friday, I finished work, and it was a long journey down. Checked into the hotel at about half seven at night, had some food, recorded a podcast, had a bath, managed to get everything uploaded so I didn't have to do it the next day, and had a full day training on the Saturday. Now, what was this training? I hear you yell through the airwaves. Well, to be honest, it was, I don't have to be honest about it, I'll just tell you the truth. It was to do with race-safe marshal training for the motorbike racing. I'm sure you've known, I've mentioned motorbikes many times on the show. I ride a motorcycle, even though I'm in between one at the moment. It's the longest I've never actually owned a rideable, functioning motorbike. It is killing me. So, there'll probably be another episode soon when I've hopefully narrowed the list down and actually bought a new bike. Because, yeah, I really, really need one. Anyway, I digress once more. But yeah, you may have heard from other podcasts that I've mentioned that I go to watch the British Superbikes. And yeah, basically I've always like looked at the marshals and thought, you know, what a cool job that is. You know, they get to be part of the race. They're doing a really important function, and probably for 10 years, maybe actually, I've been going to the racing for quite a while, maybe longer than that. I've always thought it's such a cool job. And I've always thought about, oh, you know, how'd you get into that and what would you do and blah, 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 blah. And then towards the end of the season last year, the end of the British Superbike season last year, quite a few of the riders, Glenn Irwin and Danny Buchan and stuff like that, I think it was them anyway, definitely Glenn Irwin, but they put on their Facebook pages and social media the way to volunteer. They basically were thanking the marshals and put on their social medias how to basically apply. So I just followed the link and read through some stuff and thought, you know what? I just chatted to me missus and said, listen, if I do this, like, do you mind me doing it? And me and Sarah have quite a good relationship where she, if you saw our house, especially the cave that I'm sat in now, you would know that she kind of lets me, I wouldn't say do what I want, but she understands that I have, like, things I would like to do and things and needs kind of thing. Like I have a need to collect stuff. I have a need to be in this space where I am now, surrounded by my stuff. I need to do my podcast and I need to do other things. And she completely gets that. And I'm the same with her. Like, she can pretty much do what she wants. And we kind of have this understanding, like, you know, as long as we, you know, we don't neglect each other and we can basically afford to do what we need to do, like, and we don't lose the house, basically, we can pay the mortgage and the bills, you know, everything else is fair game. And we're a pretty healthy relationship for that, really. So I'm really pleased that we have that kind of relationship where it doesn't, stuff like that doesn't come between us and we can be our own individual people. So anyway, I went to her and said, listen, I'm looking at doing this. And she was like, well, you've been saying that for years. You know, have a look at it, you know, see what it's about. So you have to basically join the Marshalls kind of group kind of thing. So you have to basically send a payment. I can't remember how much it was. I think it was £30 to like register. And then basically you then chose a day of training. So I registered, it was like October, November last year. I think it was. And they basically sent you like a membership number and then you can join. You can then sign into the website and see what's going on and stuff. But you have limited access when you haven't done the training. So then I picked the 2nd of March to do my training down in Bedford Aerodrome, which is like a racetrack, and I think it's still functioning partly maybe, but there's like an RAF base next to it. So I went down. I say Ashley, Coronation Street reference for my American friends. I drove down straight after work, so it was a long day on the Friday because I'd gone into work early to make up the hours, so I could leave a little early, come home, pack a bag. It was a busy week at work, so hadn't had time to pack a bag or anything, so did that on the day really, which I don't normally like to do. I normally like to like have at least some stuff ready to just grab and go and just maybe throw the last few minute items in. But yeah, anyway, got there, did the hotel stuff, lovely hotel, had a nice night. Didn't have breakfast, up early in the next morning, so I'm glad I didn't, because I wouldn't be able to have it anyway. If I'd have paid for it, I'd have been up too early to actually enjoy it, because they didn't start serving until 8:30, and I was gone at, like, 6:45. So I had to settle for McDonald's. There wasn't much around there that was open that early, so thank goodness for McDonald's, that was all I'll say. So I managed to go and get a McDonald's breakfast. I sat and chilled out for a bit, because I was up quite early. And it wasn't too far from where I stayed. It was only about 10 minutes away. So I could chill out a little bit. Ended up going to the aerodrome, and I think the best thing about, like, when you go to something like that, everyone's like-minded. So it's, you know, you go to a Comic-Con, like, everyone's a nerd and a geek about the things they love, you know, and everyone's got that interest. Motorcycle events, everyone's into motorcycles, whether they ride them or just like watching them race, and it was nice to be there that day and chat to some people, and, you know, just you know, you're all there for the same purpose and for the same reason, and you've got that kind of camaraderie baseline. It was a really, really good day, and I just can't wait now to get out and go to some races. But I'll kind of go through kind of what we do, because I think if anyone's out there and like, this will be a worldwide thing, I'm sure. Like, you know, there's obviously race marshals across the world. This is obviously the UK one. It's the Race Safe Marshall Association, which is the one I'm involved in. So basically what they do is there was like an induction, and basically what they're trying to say is here, you know, you're there to like make the race safe, you're there to support the riders, you know, get the any debris off track, you know, make the track safe, wave your flags. liaise with race control, etc. But they were really hammering home that, you know, your own safety is the most important, because you can't, it's like anything, you can't help anyone else if you put yourself in danger or you've got injured yourself. So number one is yourself, and then, you know, making sure the riders are okay. And he went into some detail. There was a couple of things I was surprised that they showed us, because I didn't think we'd be involved in that. And there was some things that I thought was maybe a bit too quick. But then when we actually went and did some of the practical stuff, I was thinking, actually, no, the training's about right. So who knew? They knew what they were talking about. So, but yeah, there's loads of different flags. There's loads and loads of different flags. So it's going to ruin me. They actually said on the day that, like, you'll be ruined now, because when you go to watch the race or you watch on TV, you'll see the flags and you'll know what they mean, and you'll know whether someone's doing the job right. So basically what they showed us on the day, so they did basically our own safety. You know, before you, if you see a crash or anything happen, you know, take a moment before you just run out. Because they were talking about something like target fixation, which is just something that happens on a bike. It can happen in other vehicles as well, but I think on a bike it's quite critical, because you're kind of balanced and you have to lean when you turn a corner and stuff. So what they were saying is the target fixation. So if a bike in front of them slides out, it takes the momentary concentration and they kind of focus on that for a second, and that can cause that rider to fall off as well. Or they might be approaching a corner where there's been a crash, and instead of, because they're going so fast, that crash might take a momentary lapse of concentration off, like, the racing line, and next minute, you know, they're either have to brake really hard, which could cause a crash, or they could fall off. So which makes sense, really, if you think about it. But yeah, they've basically told us, like, how to manage ourselves, and that they said that there's a person on each corner that kind of manages that, which is an innocent officer, and they kind of liaise with race control, and they'll kind of tell you when to go on track if needed, and then what flags to show and stuff like that. So it was really, really interesting, the fact that that the process, really, and it was all about speed of the essence. Like, safety is really key, but you've got to get on and get off. So they were saying, like, basically some of the riders, like, they'll fall off the bike and then they'll try and go over to the bike, and, you know, because that piece of equipment is so expensive, and they'll try and, you know, maybe pick it up even to try and start racing again, and you have to go and tell them, you know you've got to come off track, you know, it's dangerous, or we're a dangerous location now, we're not behind the crash barriers anymore, and trains, I'm not on the railway now, bikes are going past at like 200 miles an hour, so you need to get off the racetrack, and you're causing a distraction to the other riders as well. And then the flags have to be waved, so there's different colored flags, like yellows, and so the surface contamination flags, and oh yeah, like for information, like if the ground's got oil on or it's wet, or, you know, it was really interesting. I really enjoyed it. And how that's facilitated is literally, like, someone always looks out for you as well. So if you go on the track, there should be someone kind of, like, spotting you, which I thought was really good. Very, very similar to the railway, to be honest. I found quite a lot of similarities in kind of, like, the railway and how that functions on looking out for trains and fast things approaching you. But yeah, it was just really a bit of an eye opener, and how the flag system works. I know I'd seen it on TV and thought, oh yeah, you would wave a yellow flag, or, oh, that's the time you wave a green flag, or that's the time they wave a red flag when, you know, the race is called off and cancelled, and riders have to return to the pits. But when you have it explained to you, it makes a bit more sense. And I kind of, you know, I'm kind of in the know kind of thing now, and I've got my little cheat sheet. They keep printing out, like, a little A5 card about, you know, what all the different flags mean. And then there's also an electronic one now. So there's electronic flags as well. So they have, like, these LED screens around the track, the LED lights around the track, and you have a little, basically, control panel. And so someone's waving a physical flag, but if there's one of them control panels, you have to operate that as well. Yeah, it was really, really interesting. And I think the thing that surprised me was the medical stuff. Like, because there's medical teams on most of the corners. But they were saying, basically, you know, if you think a rider's not responsive, or you may think they've got a neck or spinal injury, that it's up to one of the marshals to actually control the head, you know, and do the log roll and be in control of that. And I was thinking, well, that's a lot of responsibility. And they showed us how to do it. They trained us how to do it, and they showed us how to put, you know, the scoop stretcher under and roll and then lift the stretcher and how to do that, and someone taking charge and like planning a route and it was super interesting. I think for me it was a bit of a shock that, you know, they would trust us enough to like control someone's head. But there was a paramedic there, a couple of paramedics on the day, like train us in the medical the ways of the medicine. And they were just like, you know, basically saying like the reason that is because there might be only one medic on that corner or that turn initially. So it's important to get that head stabilized and medical intervention given to that rider. So they basically said, if we're in control of the head, we can't do anything else. Like, what's the use of the paramedic if they're just sat holding someone's head straight? So that's why they say they give the responsibility to us, like if we're comfortable to do it. And it was quite I feel like it's quite a humbling thing, and it's quite a responsible thing. But I think it's like, yeah, I think it's humbling the right word. I don't know. I just feel it's, you know, it's a responsibility that you think, you know, you've helped save someone and you know, protected them maybe. And I think that's quite important, isn't it? Like someone's safety and protect them from a spinal injury. But yeah, it was an all around day. And then we did some practical stuff in the afternoon, because the morning bit was all indoors. And then we got fed, which was amazing. It was so delicious. It was like curry and chips and there was burgers and there was baked potatoes and rice, and it was delicious. Mouth's watering at the thought of it. And then, yeah, we went outside in the afternoon and we learnt, again, we did the scoop. We did the head protection stuff and learned how to take someone's helmet off and then carrying them away. And we did that in the gravel pit, because that's the most realistic situation. You're probably going to be on grass or a gravel pit. And then it added a different dimension, because obviously the gravel moves from underneath you. And then we also did a bit of flagging. So we had to pretend there was bikes, unfortunately. But we had to pretend. And then we'd get race control coming over the radio saying such and such has happened at turn 3. And we'd have to work out what corner we were on, so work out what flags to show. And they had like a little like laminated picture of the light panel that we had to pretend to press the button on, because obviously they can't supply that equipment everywhere. And then we had to lift a bike, which was actually surprisingly difficult with a lifting strap. I've never used a lifting strap before, but we learned how to pick the bike up, which I've done before. And surprisingly, if you do the right technique, a bike is quite easy to pick up with two people. And it was like this 5-cylinder Yamaha from like the 80s, and it was the heaviest bike I've ever lifted in my life. It was insane how heavy that thing was. And then me and this other chap were the only two that hadn't actually used a lifting strap on a bike. I had no reason to. I don't know if the others were lying or whether they'd had experience previously. So we had the bike upright, and the instructor was like still on the rear end, keeping it steady, and we put the lifting strap through the front tyre and lifted. Oh my God, it was so heavy. And he was basically saying, like, this bike's not a good example. It's like so much more heavy than the British superbikes. Even the biggest ones. So and then they said, right, now try it with the lifting bar. So the lifting bar is basically like the lifting strap, but it's connected to a big long, probably like a 5-foot long piece of scaffolding, really. And then we used that to lift, and it was still heavy, but it was so much easier having that leverage. It was just such a good day. Luckily the weather held off. It was quite a miserable day in all. And during the morning, it was like lashing down with rain, but it staved off in the afternoon. There was a little bit of drizzle, but all in all, it was just a cracking day. And even though it was a long day, it was so worth it. And I'm really, really, really keen to get going on it now. We had to do an online test after the day. And then after you do the online test, then you can start booking the races you want to attend. So very exciting stuff. So I'll let you know how that goes. And if you got interested in that, you know, definitely go along. The training was free. Obviously, you had to register, but the training was all free. You just had to get there. And then on the race days, you obviously get free entry because you're a volunteer. And they did say to us, like, it's not an easy day. You could be stood outside in the rain for 10 hours, 11 hours. But what a unique experience. You know, I just feel like it's going to be such a unique experience. And they provide facilities so you can go and camp, and you get a hookup, and you know, your own private marshalling area to camp in. And they give you a meal ticket as well, and you can get a guest ticket as well. So it has a little bit of perks. I think I'm going to enjoy it. I'll let you know after I do my first practice. I'm hopefully going to do some practice races. There's some practice rounds of the British Superbike, so I'm hopefully going to get on them, and then do some proper races.
Ooh.
Responsible job, though. You know, it's a really responsible job, and you're not there to watch the races. They kept saying that to us, like, you know, you have to be watching the race, but not to watch the race. Your job is to literally get them flags in the air as soon as something happens or as soon as they're needed. So, yeah, so kind of responsible. But I've got 12 days of mentorship. So I have to do 12 full days of mentorship to get off the training roster. And then I'll be a fully fledged marshal and can have my own corner. Happy days. Definitely. If you're interested, go and research what they do in your local area or your country. But this is what happens in the UK for Race Safe. Very interesting. And I hope you enjoyed that little podcast. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Feedback's really important to me at the moment. Podcast losing a lot of listeners at the moment, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's because I rebranded. Maybe that was a bad move. I don't know. Maybe people forgot what I was called and can't find me again. It's just nice to have some feedback, and I want to get some. Some info from you guys about what you like and just general comments. Just comment if you found it interesting or if you've had experience of being a marshal. That'd be fantastic. Take care of yourselves, and I'll speak to you soon. Thanks very much. Thanks for listening to Infinite Prattle with your host, Stephen. Follow me on social networks at Infinite Prattle, and don't forget to subscribe. Thanks very much.